Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Shkalim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Solomon, Le'iloi Nishmas Rabbi Cheskel ben Rabbi Yisrael.
Maseches Shkalim, Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara talks about the 10 Menoiroi She'osa Shloimo, which Chazal tell us, that based on Pesukim and Tanakh, that although there's one Menoir that was in the Mishkan, there was an additional 10 Menoirs that were made by Shloimo, and these are discussed in the Gemara over here. The parallel Sugya to this in the Bavli, in Menachoi, Staf Tzadik Ches, discusses this as well. The Gemara brings in a Machloikis, the Tanakhama holds that Loi Hayamavir, El B'Shal Moshe Bovad, that the only one that used to light, to actually light the Menoir on, was Moshe Rabbeinu's Menoir, whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda argues on this, and he says that Akulon Hayamavir, which Rashi understands in Menoir, means to say that you could be mavir and to be madlik on any of them. We mentioned yesterday the Meshech Chochma Shita that he understood not like Rashi, and you'd be able to be madlik on them all. That the din would be to madlik on all of them. According to the Meshech Chochma, Rashi learns you madlik on any of them. Now the Reb Chaim Brisker in the Chedushim in Masechta Menachos Daf Tzadik Ches in the Bavli comes to explain, actually, the parallel machloik is bending it to the shulchan, whether you meniach the lechem upon him just on the one of Moshe, or on any of them, which has nafkamin is obviously over here by as well, the same machloik is. And Reb Chaim understands as follows. He says that in the Torah, there's a mitzvah of osoli miktosh v'shachanti b'soicham, the mitzvah of asiyas klei miktosh, a mitzvah in the Torah, and over there, it's zecher, says Reb Chaim, that it was only said to have one shulchan, and likewise only said to have one menorah, and this din was the doirois. And likewise, that din of Osli Mikdash in the base of Mikdash as well was Miskayim and applied to the one Shulchan and to the one Menorah and not more. However, there's another halacha, says Reb Chaim, which is based on the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that David tells Shloimeh Hakol B'Ksov Miyod Hashem Olai Hiskel Et Komalechas HaTovnish. The Gemara brings down this Pasuk in a few places, in Sukkah and elsewhere, and then of Hakol B'Ksov, that there was a special Mesoira, a special Megillah that was gegeben to David and from the Shloimeh, a way in which the base of Mikdash was supposed to be built, and this din of Hakol B'Ksov, that halacha was set upon it, that it should have the extra 10 shulchanos and the extra 10 menorahs. And Reb Chaim explains that the Yesod of the man of Omar, who held that you have to be madlik on Dafka on the menorah of Moshe, is that he held that since the din of Osali Mikdosh is only fulfilled Dafka with the menorah of Moshe, and likewise only with the shulchan of Moshe, so therefore the din to do the avoid of the hadlokas of menorah and the menorah halacha on the shulchan, that as well is only with the osali mikdash sticker, and therefore it was supposed to be only the shulchan of Moshe and only the menorah of Moshe. That's what Reb Chaim explains the man to Omer, that the actual lechem aponim and the actual hadlaka is only on that of Moshe. Rebbeil Soloveitchik, brought down in the Gevurah Yitzchak over here, explains the other man, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that why does he hold that there is a din of hadlok on any of the menorahs? So the answer is, says Rebbeil, that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda held that although the din of Kli HaMikdash, the din Kli HaMikdash is only on the menorah of Moshe, because that's the only one that's given in the Torah, that's the only one that the Osoli Mikdash is set on, but Afal Pikein, since there was a din to have other menorahs, and that's based on the Hakol B'Ksov, so Reish Yehuda held that it's possible to do avoida in the Mikdash, and in this case the avoida of the hadlaka of the menorah, it's possible to do avoida a filu on a menorah which is not that of Moshe and does not have a din klei Mikdash, and afal pi kein you could do the avoida upon it because it's a chefta of menorah. In other words, the bottom line is that according to the Tanakama, avoida of hadlaka of the menorah could only be done in the klei Mikdash and only that of Moshe. Mashen can quote Reish Yehuda, since the others are also said to have a din menorah even though they're not an actual klei Mikdash, and they're based upon the Hakol B'Ksov, the Megillah that was gegeben to David and to Shloimo, and therefore, according to Reb Yehuda, it's possible to do the Hadlokas Menorah upon them as well. The Reb Yitzchak uses this Yisoy to explain a difficulty. He brings in the Lashon HaRambam in the Chos Beis HaBechira in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam tells you about all the Klei HaMikdash, and he says the Mizbeach HaKetoires had a particular location in the Heichal. It was Nosan BeHeichal Mechuvan, precisely Ben Atzof in the Dorm, was precisely centered between the north and the south, and it's Moshuch moshuch bein hashulchan v'hamenoyer lechutz. A little bit removed toward the lechutz, toward the mizrach side from the shulchan and the menorah. U'shlashtan all the shulchan, the menorah, and the mizbeach hazohav hayu menochen b'shlish ha'echav lefnim. One third of the hechal and within, and precisely in that makom you have the mizbeach hazohav, which is centered, and then you have the shulchan, which is on the tzafon, and the menorah is on the dorim, and all there in that precise location. And the Rambam gives these as the locations for the menorah, for the mizbeach hazohav, and for the shulchan. The Gevurah Yitzchak Tainis, that l'maisi, you're looking at a sugya, you're looking at the parallel sugya in the Bavli, and you can see pretty clearly that although that was such a mokoim taka for the menorah of Moshe and for the shulchan of Moshe, but there's 10 more, and since there's 10 more, they go plenty of other places, like the Gemara gets into the exact location over here and the Menachas, and they're not all exactly in that spot where the Rambam gives it. So had the Rambam given exact mokoim asuyam for the shulchan and for the menorah, and l'maisi, there were actually 11 of them in the base of Mikdash, and only one of them had that mokoim that's given by the Rambam. So on that, the Gevurah Yitzchak explains, according to this Yisoid that comes out of Reb Chaim and articulated particularly by Reb Beryl, that the pshat is that only that of Moshe had a din kli mikdash, and only that is included in the special tzivi of also li mikdash in the Torah, in the Krah, in the mitzvah say, and therefore then had to give this a din of a mokom asuyim, a precise location that it had to have, even though there were others, they did not have the mokom asuyim, the precise location, because they were not included in the kli mikdash. So all of this is what comes out of Reb Chaim and comes out of Reb Beryl Salavechik, that the pshat is that you could do the avoida according to Reb Yosef Yehuda, even in the menorah, which was one of the other menorahs that were not nichlal, not included in the Va'osali Mikdash, whereas, according to Rabbi the Tanakhama, you could only do the avoida and only fulfill the hadlokas menorah. That avoida could only be done at that which had a din kli mikdash and included in Va'osali Mikdash, which is only that of Moshe. We find a different approach to that in the Birkas Shimon, which is from Rabbi Shimon Schneerson into the Shiva of Chabin, and he brings down a kasha from Rabbi Menachem Zembe. Menachem Zembe asked the kasha as follows. We find that the Yerushalmi says in Masechta Shkolim in Perek Dala Halacha Beis, earlier in the Masechta, that the Yerushalmi says, it says according to Rabbi Meir, that Shulchan v'hamenoiro, v'hamezbeichos, v'haporoiches, ma'akven es ha-korban. All these things, according to Rabbi Meir, are ma'akven, the ma'akven, the korban, it says in the Yerushalmi, but the ma'akven, the before Yerushalmi, the rest really, or particularly, they point out that the pshat in the mayor is that these things were all ma'akev each other. Shulchan, menorah, mizbechos, different mizbechos, and the paroiches, to all ma'akev each other. And really, the Rash Sevilio makes the dimyon to abom minim shebelulav that are ma'akev. If you have just three minim, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. You have to have four. And likewise with these, the menorah, the mizbechos, and etc. And the kasha that was asked by Rabbi Menachem Zembe Zechon Avrocha is that we find by the Nes of Chanukah that they lit the menorah right after the Nisochah, and despite the fact that in Megillas Tainus Perik test, it's mavur, that the building, the finishing up of the Mizbeach, the redoing of the Mizbeach, that was only finished after Chanukah. So the kasha is, why don't we say, according to the Yerushalmi, that the existence of the Mizbeach is ma'akev the menorah, and it would be impossible to do a hadlokas a menorah if you don't have a Mizbeach, which they didn't have in the time of the Chashmonaim, so how do you light the menorah? This is the kasha that was asked by Rabbi Menachem Zembe. So the Sefer Birkas Shimon answers as follows, in the Chelak HaMayadim, in page Kuf Lamed Vov, and he says like this. He says that Be'emes is that we find by the menorah and by the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash that there was an additional din of the Eser menorahs and the Eser shulchanos, and he brings up the Yalkut that we discussed, the Yalkut Shemayini and Melochim in Kuf Pehei, that the Yalkut says there was a special inyan, these Eser shulchanos that were added in the Beis HaMikdash because there was a tzairach, a godol, a great need for Zroim and for Gishmei Bracha, a special blessing and bounty in the world, and therefore you had to have extra shulchanos, and likewise, like we discussed yesterday from the Meshech Chochma, that you had to have a special oil, a light that was illuminating on that you have to have the 10 menorahs, casting the light on the Shulchanos, that we talked about this idea. So there was a special Yisoid in the base of Mikdash to have these extra Shulchanos and the extra menorahs. The argument that's made by the Birkas Shimon is that this Hadlaka, for example, that you would have on the Shar Shulchanos, or on the Shar Menoris, actually, that would not be a din of the avoid of the clay Mikdash, and would not be Mekayim, the avoid of the Mikdash. It was a separate halacha to have a hadlaka on those Menoris. It's Mekayim, a special Indian that you have in the Bayis Hasheni, but it's not the halacha, the kiyum of the mitzvah of Hadlokas Menorah of avoid of the Mikdash, which could only be done in the Menorah of Moshe. So, Meila says on that, the Birkas Shimon, he wants to argue that the Yushalmi is Takigirech, the Yushalmi is correct, and it says over there, the menorah and the mezbeichos and the ma'akev each other. And taka, they did not have a mezbeach at the time of the chash menorah when they first lit, and they had the nes chanukah, and they could not be mekayim the regular ma'is and mitzvah of adlokas menorah, because that could only be done with the din kli mikdash and the din avoida, and that the mezbeach is ma'akev that. Ma'sheinkin over here, since in the base of mikdash there was an additional halacha to have these extra riboy ha'oir of the menorahs, like we talked about, and that's based upon the yalkut in Sefer Melachim, and that additional halacha is not a din avoida, it's a special mitzvah of adlokas menorah, an additional mitzvah of adlokas menorah. So therefore, that since it didn't have a din avoida, it didn't have the halacha of the Yerushalmi that the other klei mikdash are ma'akev, because it's not a product of the din klei mikdash, and it's not a din avoida of the base. It's an additional din, and maybe it's that din he wants to say a huge chiddush, which was miskayim during the Nes Chanukah, and this he wants to answer some kashas, like for example the Choinim all asked, the Pnei Yeshua asked, and Shabbos Chofalov, that why don't you say tumah hutzibet tzibur? Everybody asks that question. You know, the din usually is by avoid of a tzibur, that the halacha is that even if the tzibur is tameh, so we would still say the tumah is hutzibet tzibur. And we hear, even though the shemen is tameh, even if you didn't have new shemen, why was it absolutely necessary to have the new shemen and be tameh and everything? Why don't you say that the din of tzibur overrides the halacha, the issur of doing these avoidus b'tumah? And that's the Pnei Yeshua's cash over there. Why don't we say tumah hutra b'tzibur? And why was it such a necessity and imperative to have this huge nest that the menorah should light for 8 days, and in order to have shem which is Torah? Why don't you say even if it will be tameh, the tumah is hutra b'tzibur? So with that, the Birkas Shimon wants to say tumah hutra b'tzibur is then in the avoida, and the avoida of the halachas menorah, avoida could only be done with the clay mikdash, and in this case, you would have had to have the other articles of the mikdash, which are ma'akev the avoida of the menorah. You didn't have to have mezbeichos as well, which you did not have. So therefore, that din of avoida of the menorah anyhow wasn't miskayim, and therefore there was no fulfillment and no possibility of saying the tumah hutra b'tzibur. That it was only the other halacha of the shara menorahs. That's what could be miskayim. That din could be fulfilled, and therefore, says the Birkas Shimon, that din does not have the override halacha of hutra b'tzibur. It's not an avoida halacha at all. Therefore, it had to have Shemen Torah B'davka. At any rate, you could see clearly that's a very interesting and very mechudistic upshat of the Birkas Shimon, and he is obviously not saying identical to what's said in the standard Halas Forum of Rebbe El Soloveitchik, and the Guru Sitzik brings down that he's learning that there is, of course, a din of avoid that could miskayim even on the other menorah. He says, well, the chiddush of Rebbe Yehuda, according to the Rebbe El upshat, is that even though it's an avoid, it could still be done on that which doesn't have a din kli mikdash, because the other menorahs don't have a special din kli mikdash, they only included this other halacha. And it's all the parasha of the Hakol B'Ksav, the Megillah that was gegeben to David and from him to Shlomo. And the Chedushi Agriz, and the Briski Rov's Chedushim and Chumash, in Parashas Truma, in Perek Hof Hei, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he brings an Akasha, which he derives from the Sugya here, and from the parallel Sugya in the Bavli. And he asks like this, the Rashi says, a well-known Rashi in Chumash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha Ba'asiyas HaMenorah. Moshe had difficulty understanding exactly how to do the Menorah, so he tried and it didn't work out, and tried and it failed, and Hashem finally told him to throw it into the fire, and it comes done by itself. Miksha Teyosa HaMenorah, it was fast by itself, etc. So the kasha of the Biskur Rav asked is, if it's taka so difficult to make the menorah, how is it that in the Beis HaMikdash they had extra 10 menorahs? It's an unbelievable thing, you know. Beis HaMikdash had an extra 10, doesn't seem to have been any difficulty in fashioning those menorahs. They just did it, they made it themselves. So why was it so difficult for Moshe, and at the same time so hard apparently by these, so easy apparently by the 10 menorahs, which is quite doable? That's the kasha of the Biskur Rav. So the Biskur Rav says the following teretz. He says like this, we know that the menorah has to have all kinds of very intricate design work. It has to have kaftorim, which are the buttons, and prochem, it has to have the flowers, and gviim, the cups, and all different intricate designs. That's a complicated thing, how the menorah had to look precisely. And that halacha is a halacha which is ledoyrois. The menorah always has to have this thing. But he says, what about an exact size, an exact shape, an exact formation for each perach, for each flower, for each kaftor, etc., etc.? Is that also ma'achav ledoyrois? And is there a halacha that it has to be a very, very precise way, yes or no? So he says like this, that in the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, absolutely there was a very, very great precision that had to be achieved at exactly the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown on the har. Kechol Hashinimara, Oyusach, the Pasuk says, is Tavnis HaMishkon, Ve'is Tavnis Kol Keilu, V'chein Tasu. And that thing of Tavnis, the way I'm showing you, says Hashem, the way I showed it to you, Hashinimara, Oyusach, there's a vision that Moshe had, and you have to do it precisely in accordance with that Tavnis, the structure that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, with the exact precision, the way he saw the flowers, and the way he saw the Kaftarim, and everything, same size, same shapes, and everything. And that's extremely, extremely difficult to do it precisely. This is a difficult difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Masha Einkein, said the Briskerov, these menorahs are the extra 10 menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have the special halacha of Tavnis. They didn't have the special din of Koshani Maro Yisach. I'm showing you the Tavnis, the exact formation. So even though, says the Briskerov, Avada, they had to be fashioned with the details that are given in the Chumash, there's not a separate halacha of a menorah, and certainly they had to have the Kaftorim, and they had to have the Prochem and the Gvirim and all those things. But since they didn't have the special halacha of the Tavnis, the structure, the exact shape, appearance, Asher Nimaro, so that wasn't given to them, and therefore there was not a big deal. You could just make the menorah with the right amount of gold and add the Prochem and the Kaftorim and the Gvirim, and they didn't have the precise halacha, the precision din, which is learned at a special din of Tavnis HaMishkan, the Maro Yisach, the way the Pasuk says, which is why they did not have difficulty with it in the extra menorahs that they formed. The truth is that even on this whole halacha of Tavnis, there really is a machloikas Rashi and Ban Chumash, whether it applied l'doirois. And the Briskerov is assuming that it did apply l'doirois, and if you ever wanted to make a new menorah, you would have to make it with the exact precision, everything. But the extra 10, they did not have that special din, because they were just an extra halacha based upon the Halkal B'Ksav. They did not have the special din of any Maro, Yisach, and the Tavnis. But the reality, Rashi and the Ramban argue right over there in Parshas Teruma, in the Shmoyis Perek Chofei and Pasuk Tes, they argue altogether about whether this whole din of Tavnis was that applied l'doirois at all. It could be that in the Beis HaMikdash, when they made the Kalim, it was not necessary altogether to have the exact precision that Moshe Rabbeinu had to have. The Ramban over there brings down the Rashi in Chumash. It says at the end of the pasuk, "Achol shenimaro oisach the tavnis hamishkan the tavnis kol kelo v'chein tasu." And Rashi brings down from Chazal from the Gemara in Shavuos Tesayin that means v'chein tasu l'doyrois for all of time. What does that mean? V'chein tasu l'doyrois. So Rashi teaches that to mean, "Em yoyved echad mina kelim." If you ever lose one of those kelim, or yitasa clay base olamim, you're going to have a base of mikdash and making kelim for the base of mikdash. Shachonois menoyrois, etc., etc. So ketavnis elu So if someone has to be the exact tavnis, the appearance and shape and everything precision, but the yuk, the way that it is in the Mishkan, that's the way they would have to be made for all of time, l'doyres. That's how Rashi learns. The Ramban over there says, V'lo yodati she is a MS. I'm not aware that that's true altogether, says Ramban. She is chayev, shloimoy, lasoiz, clay, beis, olam, ketavnis, elu. Is it really true, says Ramban, that the clay, beis, olam, the kalim of the beis, hamikdash, have to be the exact tavnis, the exact way and appearance and everything, the way that it was done by Moshe Rabbeinu? Who says it's true altogether? And the Ramban points out, you know what, Moshe when he built the Mizbeach on a Choshes, the after the Mizbeach was copper, and it was that Mizbeach, when it was replicated by Shloimoy, it was the Mizbeach Achitzayin of Shloimoy was much, much bigger. It was 20 Amis by 20 Amis, much, much bigger. It's like it says in Divrei Yomim, it's Beis in Perek Dalet. So the Ramban says, you see altogether that the Mizbeach of Shloimoy was not done with the same appearance and the same size as the Mizbeach of Moshe. And the Ramban suggests that Bechlal would not be true altogether to say that Chain Tassel L'Doyrois means that those Kalim, when they made L'Doyrois in the Beis HaMikdash, left them with the exact precision, the exact same way and shape and appearance as it was by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, in reality, the Archaim HaKadosh right over there in Shmoyis Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Tes, he says it's Mispale on the Ramban. The Ramban is amazing because he says it's clear that the simple reading of the Sugya in Shavuos Daf Tezayin that Rashi is quoting seems to be saying pretty clearly like him that the Chain Tassel L'Doyrois, the Pashtas of the Sugya, he says, is clearly mashma that all the kalim and everything of the Beis HaMikdash have to be fashioned the doyrois in the same way that they were fashioned by Moshe Rabbeinu, in the exact same manner. And then it says, as far as the one raya that Ramban brings, that the Mizbeach was completely different, the outside Mizbeach, you can say a simple teret to that, and I saw the Maral says it over there in Chumash, and the Gur Aryeh, that the reality is that the Gemara really speaks out in Zvochem, that's the truth, and the end of Chav Zayin and the Beis, that the Gemara says that the Mizbeach Achitzayin of the Beis HaMikdash did not have a din of a keli at all. It wasn't a keli, because the Gemara says it had a din like a karka, because it was made out of stone and set into the ground, and it was like part of the ground, it was not a kli. So therefore, and the Maral makes this point in Chumash, that he says over there in the Gur Aryeh, it's not a kash on Rashi. He says all the kalim had to be made exactly the same way, or even l'doyrois for all of time, the same way that they were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Tavnis kol kalim, they had to be made the chein tasa l'doyrois, exactly the same way. But the Mizbeach is different because it wasn't a kli. It was a structure built into the ground, and therefore, there you did not have this exact halacha to make it precisely the same, the Beis HaMikdash, as you made it in the time of Moshe. At any rate, the Briskerov, as you could see, is assuming like Rashi, that there is a din on the Iker Menorah and the Iker Shulchan that had to be made exactly the same way as that of Moshe. That had a din of Kachol HaShemaro, Yisach, and a din of Tavnis. But the extra ones, they did not have that precise and that precision in their halacha, and therefore there was no tremendous difficulty that they had in making the extra 10 menorahs, even despite the difficulty that we see that Moshe had in making the original. We find a somewhat different mahalach in the Sefer Masas HaMelech from Reb Simonik Diskind. He says an important discussion in Chelet Beis Beis and Reish Pei Gimel, he brings in a very important question from the Shuvat Chasam Sofer in the Chelik Beis, Reish Lamed Vav. The Chasam Sofer asks over there the fundamental Shiloh that if you look around at the Psukim, and you could see very, very clearly the Psukim that speak of the Bayis HaRishon, which is in Sefer Malachim, and the Psukim that speak about the Bayis HaShlishi, which is in Sefer Yecheskel, and Masechta Midos, we have the dimensions of the Bayis HaSheni, and they're all different, and every single time the building is certainly completely different. It's completely sized, the structure, the shape is different. The Bayis, the Mishkan is one size, and the Bayis HaRishon is one size. The Bayis HaSheni is different from that, and the Bayis HaShlishi, every single time, it ends up being different from the one before. So his kasha is that how did they do that? You can't mishana the Din HaTorah, fill up here Novi Zokta. You can't change anything. Even a Novi can't change the Din HaTorah if the dimensions and the exact appearance and everything is given Taka in the Chumash and Parshas Truma to Sava. So how are they able to make any Shinuyim whatsoever in the base of Mikdash? So the Sefer says an important explanation. He says that the Lashon HaPasuk in the beginning of Truma is V'osu Li Mikdash, but it's a general idea. V'osu Li Mikdash, a Din, a Tziva, a Doiris, a Mitzvah, say, for all of time, they can make for me a base of Mikdash. Then it says, V'chol HaShem Imaro Oyesach, Istavnus Hamishkin, etc. Istavnus called Kalev. The Chayin Tassel Ludoiros. The Chasam Sofer explained that he wanted to learn. The Chayin Tassel Ludoiros means that the same way Asher Animara Oisach, that I am showing you Moshe Rabbeinu the structure and the appearance, and you're getting a Mara Nevuah how to do it in the time of the Midbar, what it's going to look like B'Shas Hamishkin. So the same way the Chayin Tassel Ludoiros, the Chasam Sofer, the same way it's going to be for all generations. Whenever I'm going to command to build a new Beis Hamikdash, it's also going to have a Mara Oisach at that time, and there'll be a Mara Nevuah and a vision to the Navi at that time telling them how to make that Beis HaMikdash. And Memela, when it came time for the Mikdash of Shloimei, there was a Nevuah, and the Nevuah told us how to make the Mikdash then. And the same way, also Lava, the Bayis HaShlishi, has a Nevuah of Yecheskel. And the same way, it is for all of the Bote Mikdash, Zokter, because the Chayin Tassel Lederis means the same way that I'm showing you now a Nevuah now how to do this Mikdash. Every Mikdash, when it gets built, is going to have to be built all your day, a Nevuah telling you how to build that Mikdash, and that's the Pshat, says the Chasam Sofer in the Chayin Tassel Ludoiris, which maybe arguably actually fits better in the Chasam Sofer's reading of the Chayin Tassel Ludoiris, that it doesn't mean that it's exact with the exact nuances and details of the original, but rather the Chayin Tassel Ludoiris means for all of time you're going to have this mitzvah, and according to the Chasam Sofer, you'll be given it with new details at the time when it's going to be given then. Chasam Sofer goes further and he argues that therefore, that's why this Nevuah, these Nevuahs, that you had a Nevuah how to make the Bayis HaRishon, and Nevuah of Yecheskel how to make the Bayis HaShlishi, and these Nevuahs, Sata Chasam Sofer, they're not regular Nevuahs, but rather, they're not ordinary, because a regular, ordinary Nevuah would not be able to override any Pasuk in the Chumash at all. It's impossible. The Pshat is that this Din was given Meikara, when it was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Osali Mikdash, in such a way that every time you come to be building the Beis HaMikdash, there'll be a Nevuah then how to give it. And therefore, it's built in that Nevuah is the way in which this mitzvah of Osali Mikdash is going to be fulfilled each time that you're going to be building. So therefore, there's a Din of Asher Nimara, etc., the way the Pasuk says in the Chumash has to be Dafka al Yedei Mara Nevuah. In other words, Hashem is not going to just dictate to the Navi and tell him, do this and do that and do that, but rather he's going to get a Mara Nevuah, a Dafka, a vision, because that's the way the Pasuk is giving the mitzvah of also the mitzvah for all of time. Each time you want it, you'll get a Mara Oisach, and showing you Moshe how to do it, and the Chayin Ladoiris to be a Mara. Because that's why in Cheskel there's a stress in the Pasuk, in Perik Mem, in Pasuk Beis, so it says, the Mara is Elokim Hevi'ani, etc., etc., that the Navi says with the Mara Nevuah was taken in the vision. He's taken to Eretz Yisrael. The Yadaber Eloh Ish, and that's the Malach says to Yecheskel, Ben Adam Re'ei Beinecha, Ovoz Necha Shmo V'Sam Sim Livcha L'Chol Adasher Ani Mara Oisach. So he says, I want you to pay a lot of attention. Look with your eyes, and you pay attention with your ears and your heart to everything which I'm showing you. I'm showing you. So Zokta Chasam Sofer, the Hezber in that, the Pshat in that is. This point is actually tzugulate by the Masa Melech, by Reb Simonik Diskin, that he says that the Nakuda here to understand is that that's an extra halacha, that Asher Nimara, that had to be dafka fulfilled, otherwise this Nevuah wouldn't do the job. Because when the Pasuk gave the Tzivoy in the Chumash, it said that it's going to be Gegeben al Yedei, this thing, that each time there comes time to build a Beis HaMikdash, there'll be a Mara Nevuah to a Navi, which will tell you how to build that Beis HaMikdash. Now, according to this Reb Simonik Diskin's understanding of the Chasam Sofer, it really follows with Pashtus that there was a special Mara Nevuah Shavua in the Bayis HaRishon as well, which is really, by the way, not really mentioned in the Chumash, that it was a special Mara, how Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash had to be built, you know, that was a day of vision, a Mara. But Lamaisa, this is what comes out of the Reb Simonic Diskin's Pshat and the Chasson Sefer, and it's going to be applicable to the Mara Oisach, the Tavnis, the Mishkan, the Tavnis called Caleb, and the Chain Tassel Adairis. In other words, that's the way each time there's a special vision of how to make the Mikdash and the Klei HaMikdash, or the Bayis HaRishon, and the same is true with the Bayis HaShlishi as well. So the thing is that according to that, you really are going to lose the oftoy, the achievement that the Brisker Rav achieved earlier by saying that you know why the one of the Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah was so difficult to make, and it was quite different from the one of the extra 10 that were added on later by the Shasta Beis HaMikdash, because the first one had a special thing to do according to a specific vision, and it had to be a Tavnis, fulfillment of that vision, which had to be precise and exact, and that's why it was so difficult. Then, Mr. Kohen Torah, the Monic Diskin, based upon the Chasam Sofer that he brings, it really follows that the same concept of following a vision and following a Mara is applicable to Bayis HaRishon as well. There's got to be a special Mara about how to make the Bayis HaRishon and all the Kalim inside as well. So therefore, it's going to come out that he would really require some sort of a precision as well in the extra 10 menorahs and all the clay of the Bayis HaMikdash, even if not those are not from the original ones, the originals of Moshe, the way the Brisker Rav would make the distinction, he wouldn't make the distinction and require a special fulfillment of the Mara which according to him is special for the Bayis HaRishon. One more point on this sugya, the Gemara says that we learned that Hoya Shloimo Noitel Elef Kikri Zohov Shlomo took 1,000 units, measures of kikos of gold. Machnisan Lakuru Moitziyon Ad Shumaminan Al Achas. It ended up with just one perfectly purified, one kikor of Zohov. Akayim Hashanemar Kikor Zohov Tohor Yase Oisa. So the Gemara tells us this thing that it had to be one kikor. It started with a very large amount, and they melted it down to purified it down to one. The Gemara then says a lashon which is a little bit unclear. The Nuschas Bavli print inside is a little different. The Gemara says there's a story. The way we have the story with the Menorah Zohov Shalsa Moishev Midbar, that it was an extra dinar Zov, and then they melted it and melted it, they put it back into the core, and they couldn't get it. It was so purified, they couldn't get that dinar Zov away. That's the Lashon of the Yerushalmi. Some of the Achroinim here, the Meforshim on Magiyah, they changed the Girsa slightly, that it should read like the Nuscha Bavli, which is printed on the side of the page over here, in the Yerushalmi here. And the Bavli, which the Bavli is actually a Masechta Menachas Choftes, so the Bavli says a different Lashon, that the Menorah that they were making in Shloimeh's time was Yisera al Menorah Sha'osa Moshe B'Midbar dinar Zov. In other words, they were trying to get it exactly the same as the dinar Zov, as the volume of Moshe that Moshe had in the Midbar of the Kikar Zov. Not that Moshe had the problem. According to Nusra Bavli, which some Achronim bring down here too, is that they were trying to make the one of Shloimeh be the same Kikar as that of Moshe, and it was a difficult job that they went through once it had been purified to that degree. So the Mechas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tzadik Ches and Ois Gimel has a fundamental question that he raises. He wants to know whether, you know, the Pasuk says a Kikar Zov, Yaso Oiso, like the Yerushalmi brings the Pasuk over here, and it had to be exactly a Kikar. The Shaila that the Mechas Chinuch raises is that only a minimum or is it a maximum as well, and it has to be mamish precise? So he says that, the Pasuk says it has to be a kikor, but you find other times that that's just a minimum. Maybe it's possible to argue that if you want, you can make it even bigger than a kikor. And it's, he says, not so muchach how to learn. But he says the truth is, if you look in Rashi in Chumash and Parashas Truma and Chof Hei Lametes, so Rashi says clearly on the Pasuk of kikor Zov, Rashi says, Shaloya Hei Mishkolo Im Kol Keileho, Elo Kikor Loi Pachois Velo Yoise. So Rashi clearly adds those words, not less and not more, and not more, in other words. So Rashi Beferish says in the Chumash that it has to be exactly a kikar, and just like it can't be less, it also can't be more. The Mechas Chinuch says that L'Choyer there's a very clear raya to Rashi in Chumash from the Mor Menachas Choftes, which is in the Bavli that we just quoted. It's the same thing in our Yerushalmi in Mesechta Shkolim Daf Yudches, where it talks about this thing that they had, the menorah that they were making, and they put it 1,000 times into the core to get it, try to get it exactly down to a kikar. So he brings the whole story that they were trying to get it even though it was an extra dinar zov volume, and they were trying to even get rid of that extra dinar zov. So he says, you see, clearly, apparently, a Raya Rashi in the Chumash, that just like there's a minimum of a Kika, there's also a maximum of a Kika, and it's exactly a Kika Zov, and that's why there was such a big Peda, and they were so careful about it in the Gemara over here. However, after all is said and done, the Mechas Chinuch, curiously enough, writes, the Lule Pirish Rashi says, if not for Rashi in the Chumash, nearly, I would say, the Ein B'Yesek Tzask Peda. Very curious, Mechas Chinuch. He says that maybe having a little bit more would not be a Peda. The Enem of War Gamkin Baharambam. So he argues that if it would really be true that it has to be exactly a kikar, the Menorah, mamish not less and not more, and exactly a kikar, why isn't it brought down the Rambam like that? And the Yad, a very interesting question. The Rambam should have reckoned it and brought it down the halacha. So therefore, you're going to say, Zok, there, that from you have these stories in the Gemara about the Yerushalmi that they're trying to make it mamish exactly a kikar, there's ain't raya, Zok, there. It's not really a good raya. The also koltats the kois, lias dugmas kloy moish rabbeinu olav hasholom, because since Moshe did get it exactly straight, and Pashtus actually, Moshe was made made by the Eibishter, like we said before, is made me'elov, and according to depending how you learned it in the Chazal, and therefore Moshe was taka exactly a kikor. So they were trying to do their very best to be able to get the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash to be exactly the same as that of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they wanted it, there was an inyan to have it exactly like Moshe, so it had the same volume. The mitzana din, mitzana halacha, the Mechas Chinuch remarkably suggests nishvi Rashi, and you could say that it's not the pshat that there's an exact mamash din that it should be not more than a kikar, but rather that there was an inyan to have it exactly the same as Moshe, and they were working very hard on that inyan. That Mechas Chinuch, by the way, it really is dependent upon going with the so-called Nuschas HaBavli that we mentioned before, as opposed to going with the Yushalmi here, because the way that we have the Gersin Yushalmi, it seems to be saying about Moshe's own menorah that they were working and working to make it down to a dinner zov. In other words, presumably it would not be going like the man of Amar that was made me'elov al yidei the Eibishter, which we mentioned before the Chazal. And this Yushalmi, if you go with the Gersin that we have, it presumably be saying that the menorah had to be exactly a kikar. It was a big job, and they were working very, very hard to get Moshe's own menorah down to a kikar. According to that, you're going to lose the Mechachinuch Shtikol Torah that once Moshe was a kikar, so the ones in the base of Mikdash are trying to get it down to a kikar, even though it wasn't a real din, they're trying to make it the same. We have it that it's talking about Moshe's, but again, like we said, some of the Achroinim over here, Magil, like the Nuschas HaBavli, which is printed on the side of the page, and according to that, the Yishalmi is also talking about the one of Shloimoi, and just trying to get it down to exactly a kikar to make the same of that of Moshe, and you could say like the Mechachinuch. The next Mishnah and the Sugya and Aloha Dalet bring down the Yud Gimel Sheforois that they had of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the 13 large pushkis that they had for putting various sorts of monies or different funds, depending on what your needs was, to put it into these pushkis. The pushkis were shaped sort of roughly like a shofar, so they're called a Shloisha Esrei Sheforois. And there's a machloikis exactly about the nature of these shofars. The Gemara at the beginning of the Sugya brings in a brace that Rabbi Yehuda held, Tanya Amar Yehuda, Lahir Shofar Shal Kinam B'Yerushalayim. That in fact, these Kinam, in other words, was to have the pair of birds, which is echad l'chatos v'echad l'oilo, there was no pushka for that purpose. You didn't just stick in your money and then go and have it done. Why? So Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the way the Gemara brings it at the beginning, shematomos achas, maybe one person will die, the Bailam will die, v'nimtzad mechatois meisois mesarvois bohem. In other words, you'll end up with a terrible, bad situation in which there's a tremendous amount of money to this pushka. One of those monies was put in by a deceased owner, which might happen, maybe the owner will die. You know that the chatos meisois certainly can't go l'hakrovot, to go to Misa. So therefore, you'll have a big problem and there'll be a taruvus and you won't be able to offer anything, and because of that concern, it'd be who the hell that they did not have a shofar and for the pushka for the kingdom, we just put the money, dump the money, would have to actually give it directly to a kohen. The Gemara actually ends up being choyzer from this thing, and it's not the pshat that there was a direct chashash, that we're concerned that somebody will die, because the Gemara comes out, as you see here in the Yerushalmi, that you're not worried about this thing, that somebody might die after putting the money in the pushka. Rather, says the Gemara, that the pshat is we're concerned. In other words, you may actually find out with a certainty knowledge that one of the people who put the money for the chatos and the pushka ended up dying, and we'll know that the case, and we'll end up ruining all those monies. None of them will be able to be offered for a chatos, for the kingdom, because one of them is a chatos ha-meisos, and presumably it wouldn't be bottled, like we'll talk a little about. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says that that was the concern of Yehuda, where he held you don't have a pushka for the kingdom, because maybe you'll find it with a vadai, with a certainty that one of the owners has died. The Gemara says maybe you could say Breira. In other words, maybe you'll select one of those monies out, just one unit of money out from the pushka, and we'll say that it's mavur, it's determined now that that is the money that's shayach to that person that put in that died. And now take those four zuzim that the person put in, which is igloy, determined that those are shayach to that person, the nishti benara, and put it into a river, either chlishter or bimater, all the other monies. So the answer is, the Gemara says, if Yehuda does not hold a breira, and that's if Yehuda shita in shas, if Yehuda doesn't hold a breira. The same really parallel sugyas in the Bavli and Yuman and Hay, it goes to the same elements of the sugya that Rabbi Yehuda reject the idea that one of these pushkas, one of these shofars, should be for the kingdom, which is echad l'chatas and v'echad l'yoyla. The Yerushalmi then goes on. The Gemara in Yuma goes on with the same shtickle tayer that it's not the pshat that you might be concerned. Maybe somebody will die, but rather that you might find out with the avarai knowledge that somebody died. And the Gemara again says maybe let's say breira over there v'nivra bo zuzim v'nishti b'maya, take four zuzim and select them, and it will be determined that that's those that deceased person's four zuzim and throw it in the river, and that the Gemara says that if Yehuda doesn't hold a breira, and therefore you can't do this. There's several points about this Gemara, and the most obvious one, which is really self-evident, is what in the world is the application to breira over here? And this is the kasha that the Rishonim ask in Masechta Yuma and also in Tmura, like we'll see. It's a very, very big kasha. Tosfos in Tmura asks the kasha on the Lamed Amud Aleph. Tosfos brings down the sugya in Yuma. Tosfos in Tmura Lamed Aleph the Masel V'Idoch. He brings the sugya in Yuma Nun and Hey, that let's select four of those four Zuzim. And Tosha says that that's not what Breira means anywhere. Whoever heard of saying that? You know, each person that they put in their particular coins, this is the coins that I put in, that's the coins that you put in, and later on we're going to, what, retroactively say what? That those are not the coins that I put in, I really put in some other coins. You just select four coins at random and determine those are the coins I put in. Tosha says, if you believe that, why don't you say, B'chol Isra Ma'ura Beheter, anytime I have a Taruvis, if you know I have one piece of trefa meat and a lot of piece of kosher meat, you know, and let's say it's not bottle, it's a chatuch l'skabit, it's a very chosh of a piece, so let's just rely on Breyer effect, Tosha, you know, just select one piece, and we'll say, okay, that's the piece which is Isra. You can't do that, it's impossible. It might not be the piece which is Isra. Breyer always means when it was indeterminate from the get-go, you know, and you know all the sugars of Breyer. A person says that he has a big barrel of wine, he says that units of wine, which I'm eventually going to be determining later, should be already be called Truma now and Truma and Mice already, etc., etc., from now. So it's indeterminate from the get-go. He has not determined it. And when I make the determination later, it will be Gloy Mafreya retroactive that it took effect from this time when I made the declaration earlier on. But that doesn't apply. You can't say Breyer in a case where it's clear from the get-go exactly that these monies were given by me and those monies are given by you. The same way Tosha makes the parallel. If I know this is the piece, if it was clear this is the piece was a treif and that's the piece of kosher, and that was clear from the get-go, good, it's more than a day. It's unknown right now. It doesn't mean you could arbitrarily pick a piece and decide that the piece of this treif. How could you possibly apply Breira to a sugya like this? So there are a couple of approaches in the Rishonim. Taisis' approach over there in Tmura Daf Lamed is actually a very difficult svara that Taisis says. That Taisis says that normally I could never say Breira in a case like this because it's Hovrar Ho'issa Me'ikoro. In other words, it was clear at the time when the Issa was thrown in that this was Issa and that was Heter. And when it was thrown in at that time, it was distinct from the pile. The pile was a pile of Heter and this is a pile of Issa. And the Issa was distinct and was determined at that time that it already is awesome, and then it got put into the pile. Masha Enkin says Tosis in a case like this one over here, where at the time when these coins got mixed together, they were all heter, because not a single one had a deceased owner, and it's only after it's already besoich hataruvus, after it's already in the pile, that then the owner got deceased. So therefore the Issa came into being in besoich hataruvus in the midst of the pile, in the midst of the intermixing, only after that, within the pile, and the mixture, only after that point the Issa came into being. So there Tosis says it's a special thing, and we would allow ourselves to say Breira in a case like that. If you hold a Breira, and that's why the Gemara asks this Kasha in the Yushalmi and the Bavin of Yehuda, because the owner died after it's already mixed together, and at that point, it's indeterminate right from the get-go that which one is that which was put in by the deceased person. This Tosis Svara in Tmura is extremely, extremely difficult to understand, and the Ritva already points this out, that Ritva Yuma Daf Nun Hamed Beis that we mentioned before the Sugya and the Bavli, and the Ritva that Sugya quotes this in the name of Yeshmer Rabbi Sein, Usha Tirtzu, that he says there are those that say this Teretz, that the Issa is different when it came into being in the midst of the pile, it's a different thing, and then I would allow myself to say Breir, and how could you say that, says the Ritva, he says it's a very Shvera Teretz, even if it came into being after it's already in the pile, the fact is it's a very specific one. I may not know which one, maybe nobody knows which one, but it certainly is a very specific one that was put in by the deceased person, and it sounds like it really should be a meaningless concept to just take one out and say Breira, and now I think that's the one that was it belonged to the deceased person. How does it belong to him if a different one is the one that was actually put in there? And again, like we said, Breira is really a whole different thing. Whenever we apply Breira usually, it's because it was never determined and was always indeterminate, like the guy who declared that I want some Truma to be in this wine barrel. But which entity? That which I will eventually make the determination later after Shabbos, that's the entity I want to be Truma already from now. But how could you apply Breira with a specific sum of money which was put in by the deceased person? How would somebody else's money be able to be taken out and said the Huvrar, that it's the deceased guy? And the Dvo, because of this, says an interesting thing. He says that the correct pshat, in my opinion, of Hanochoin, he says that every person who puts the money into these shoifors puts it in al das hakoy hanim Noisnim. They put in with the subject to understanding of the kohen, because you don't want to mess people up, you don't want to mess everyone up. You want the kohen to have a certain latitude, so you're subjected to the understanding of the kohenim. It should be subject to understanding and the desire of the kohen, the time of the hakrova, according to the best way that's necessary for the kohen to make the decision. So therefore, the Ritva says remarkably that because of that subject, that understanding that the person subjects himself and his donation to the hektish, he's giving the coins into the pushka, subjects it to the das hakoyin, so therefore it's biyodas hakoyin, it's in the hand of the kohen to say that these coins are the ones that they belong to the, so to speak, carbon of the dead guy, and the other coins are the ones that belong to the carbon of the living people, as long as they hold a breira, and you have that kind of a system in place. Because even if these are the wrong coins, they're not the ones that were given by the living guy, but al kapana, the pshat is, since each person subjects himself, and they all don't subject himself to the Das HaKoyin, is as if I have an indeterminate mix from the get-go, and each person is subjecting himself to the determination that will subsequently be made by the Kohen, which are going to be mine, which are going to be his, which are going to be anybody else's, and the Kohen is going to later on make that determination on something which on an indeterminate hektish, because the people subjected themselves and they gave it a die to the Hochi, that the givings of the hektish into the push should be indeterminate, subject to the Das HaKoyin. That's why as long as I hold a prayer and I can make the determination, and it's retroactive from the guy was alive, if I hold the prayer, then I'll be able to do this thing because of the people subjecting themselves and giving it according to that understanding. It's only because if it does not hold of Breira, therefore there really is no mechanism to allow for this thing, even if I'll say that the people subject themselves to the Das HaKoyin. And a very interesting Yisoid of the Ritva. On this Shakavataria of the Gemara and the Bavli Yuman and Hay and the Yushalmi over here, there is a kasha that a number of Achoinim ask. It's in the Shara Melech and from the Gvoyas Klavov and other places. Several Achoinim ask that the Gemara and the Hava Amina over here that said that we have a chashash that the guy died. So one of the givers of the coins into the pushka, he died. That's the half a minute. He died, and therefore I have to worry about that and not bring it. So the Gemara comes out, well, you're not choshish for this. It's a chashash rocho. You don't worry. And unless you know for a fact that the person died, you don't worry. But maybe you'll know he died. So in the half a minute, the question that's asked by the Shah HaMelech, amongst others, is as follows. We know that these coins are a taruvus, and even if there is one set of posel coins, because the owner's dead, it's bottle beroiv anyway. You know, that's been a bittle. We file bittle beroiv. If you have iser or posel, that's nisarev into roiv ksheirim or roiv heter. Halach is you go with bittle beroiv, and we say that's nullified, this minority is nullified at the majority, and therefore it will be kosher on the raisa level. Now, it happens to be that these coins are matbeyois, and the klal is that a matbeya is choshev, it's a significant entity, and therefore is not bottle. But that whole din, zok, the Shah HaMelech, that's a din derabbanan. Generally speaking, this whole halacha, that this or that thing is choshev and distinguished and different not potel, that's always derabbanan, generally speaking. And therefore, the din of matbeyah choshev is not potel, is only derabbanan. So then, since it's only derabbanan, it comes out like this. On the raisa level, even if you'll say, well, I am worried. Maybe somebody died. Even if I say I'm worried that somebody died. But then, even if he did die, we bottle on the Torah level. Because I don't know which is the puzzle that was given by him, and it's potel. Elamai, you worried about a derabbanan. That there's a din drabbana, that the apostle coin is not bottle. So then it's a safa drabbana, and we should say safa drabbana lahakol. You don't know for a fact in the Havam Nidhing Mar that he died. You're just dreaming up a chashash. Even if there is a real chashash, even if I make it like a 50-50 chashash, we should still say that it's only a safa drabbana whether he died, and therefore be makel upon it. Because like every safa drabbana and drabbana will always makel, always lenient. And the fact that this coin is since it is a coin, a choshev and not bottle, there is bottle on the Torah level, just not drabbana. Comes out with the rice, it is no concern, only drabbana. And why don't I say, this is the big kasha that Shah HaMelech and others ask. So we'll go down briefly through a couple of approaches in the Achroinim in this kasha. The Shah HaMelech himself wants to say that we could apply over here, and actually bring a raya from here to a bit of a controversial issue in the Achroinim called this, something called Nisgalgel. The din of Nisgalgel is that anytime I have a suffix, which fundamentally speaking would really be a Torah level suffix, it's a suffix in a deraisa, and I should really apply suffix deraisa l'chumra. But since I have some side issue, it kicks in and knocks it down to a Rabbanon, so therefore it ends up happening to be a Safik Rabbanon in the way that it presents itself to me. But fundamentally, the Shaila is a Safik and a Deraisa. So in various cases, the Achorinim talk about this concept of this Galgal. And this Galgal means it rolled over, like a Galgal. It rolled over. It was fundamentally a Deraisa Safik, and it rolled over into a Rabbanon. And therefore, in such a case, there are Achorinim that want to say that we treat it as a Safik Deraisa, and I have to have a Machmiron upon it, even though in the particular format, destruction, which it came before me, it happens to be a Rabbanon. The mail over here, if you apply this din, says the Shah HaMelech, then we could say like this, that really the suffix of the guy died is a mamish deraisa level suffix. And if he did die, I have posel of coins in there. If he didn't die, I don't have posel of coins in there. It's a question if there are posel of coins in there, which is a suffix and a deraisa. It happens to be that a side point kicks in, which is on a Torah level, I say a bittel, and therefore I end up, since the Torah level is a bittel, I end up with only having a derabanan, a shayla that presents itself as a derabana. But really, fundamentally, it's a shava deraisa if the guy died and there's posel of coins. So mela, therefore, since it's fundamental a deraisa, we apply the din of Nisgalgel. It's a deraisa which in Nisgalgel is rolled over into the Rabbanan, and I say L'chumra, which is why the Gemara in the Havamina was assuming that if the guy had a realistic concern, he might have died, a realistic chashash, he might have died, so then we would be machmir and pasul the coins. That's the suggestion of the Shah HaMelech. There is another suggestion in the Orach Haner in Sukkah Daf Chof Dalet on this kasha. And the Orach Haner suggests that it could be that, you know, who is the man Dalmat Gemara is going in over here in the Bavli, Yushalmi? We're going in a Yehuda. It's a Yehuda is explaining why does the Yehuda hold that they did not have any special pushka for the Kenim in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, now we know that a Yehuda holds all over in Zvachim and elsewhere, all over. The Yehuda always holds that min b'minoi afilu be'elaf lebotel. The Yehuda sheet, and that's a din deraisa. The Gemara people don't have a pasuk this thing that if I have like in like. Even if eloflabas, so if I have, let's say, a bit of meat juice of neveh, like I'm mixing the potatoes, it's enoi minoi, and that could be bottle. It's like and unlike. However, min b'minoi, according to Behuda, if I have a lot of pieces of presumably a lot of tray for meat, one piece of tray for meat, a lot of pieces of kosher meat, min b'minoi, it's like and like meat and meat, and a filu be eloflab bottle. So since that's a Behuda sheet, we don't pass like a Behuda on this, but he holds that min b'minoi is never bottle, even a 1,000 pieces of heter against it, it still not be bottle. So since we're going to Behuda over here, that would not help me at all to say that I had the coins of a dead guy, the deceased person, is a bottle in a very large number of coins from living people, because it's mimbamina. The coins are like, they're in a mixture of like of other coins, and therefore even bell of the bottle. So that's a suggestion that the Orchaneh says, well, Adin Deraisa, according to Behuda himself, who we are going in over here, is Adin Deraisa, why the Behuda won't be able to say bittle at all. The Orchaneh, however, is mafalpal on this point, because he points out there's a bit of a steer in Toises in two places, that the Behuda said that only in Lach Balach, or even in Yoveh Piyoveh. As Toises in Yovamas Pei Bei says, it's only if I have, let's say, liquids that get mixed into liquids, it means it became one entity and one unit. I have wine of Isser, which gets mixed into a large number of wine of Heter and became one, but that's what liquids do. They get thoroughly intermixed and they become one. So that's where the Behuda held a Philip Elefle bottle. The Behuda's marker is that you find he brings a raya that dam kochim doesn't become bottle and dam of other carbonis. If I have dam of one kind of carbon, blood gets mixed with a different kind of blood. So that's a thorough intermixture, which is lach balach. It becomes liquids get mixed and they become one. So there it's a deraisa, a Philip Elephant bottle. But what about Yovish be Yovish? I have separate pieces, a piece of tray for meat, a lot of piece of kosher meat. The Tyson in Vachim holds, Tyson Yvamis holds that by Yovish be Yovish, Yehuda did not say his din. Now, over here, by the coins, obviously, the distinct Yovish entities, my coins and your coins and a lot of other coins. So, coins of that, Rabbi Yehuda's din would not be applicable over here, and you wouldn't be able to say this thing that is din deraisa of Rabbi Yehuda of Mimba Minoi in Belfle bottle. However, the Rochaner points out that Tyson is Vachim and Ches doesn't hold like that. And over there, Tyson's Vachem says that it's not true, and the Behuda applies says then even to Yovish B'Yovish, and Bim B'Mino is not bottle even B'Elef, so therefore says the Aruch Haner that according to that we understand why it's a Shail of Mamash Odereis over here, because if there is coins of a dead person, there's no bittle at all, totally a Dereis, a Dinde, all puzzle, that's why the Gemara considers this possibility that you have to worry that maybe somebody died and then all the coins cannot be used. One last Indian, the Gemara on Amad Beis near the bottom, brings down various opinions among the Amaroyim as to why there was Shishal and Nadova. Why were there six pushkas for the purpose of bringing Menadev, giving the oilus Nadovas? And one opinion the Gemara brings down is an opinion of Chizkia that it was for the six Bati Ovois. In other words, that each Mishmar, the shift of Kain for that week, was subdivided into six Bati Ovois, and each Beisav would take from its pushka and they would take Nadovois for that day. There's a parallel sugya to this in Menachas Daf Kuf Zayin. We also have Chizkia's Shita brought down, and the Gemara explains over there it's Kedilas Shalom Beinehem, because in other words, since each time that you would have a nadava that we brought for that Beis Av, the Beis Av is going to benefit from that. They're going to get the oiros, the hides from it, and therefore it's actually beneficial to the Beis Av to be able to get those. So you want to have shalom, you don't want to fight over whether I'm going to get more nadavas in my Beis Av or you're going to get more in your Beis Av. And therefore they instituted a system according to Chizkia, they have six separate pushkas, and according to whatever much is in my pushka, it goes to my Beis Av in my day, whatever in your pushka will go to your Beis Av in your day. The Gemara brings the various other opinions like you have over here as well, the different shitois, and the Bavli comes out over there at the end of the sugya in Menachos Kuf Zayin, that the other opinions did not hold like Chizkiya because l'insuya lo chashinam. We don't worry about the Kohenim fighting. It wouldn't be necessary to make separate pushkas just for the purpose of having them fight. This is the sugya. Elaborate a little bit more in the Bavli than you have over here in the Yushami. There's a big question over here, is discussed by the Aruch Haner, Yevamos Kuf Aleph, and the other Achroinim, and they bring down a very, very big stira as to whether there really were only six Beis Avos, that in other words, each Mishmah was divided into six subdivisions, or was really seven Bati Avos, each Mishmah was divided into seven. In other words, according to what comes out of our Gemara, it's really Mavur in the Gemara here, and also in the Bavli, in Menachos, in the Das Chizkiya, it comes out that each Mishmah was divided into six Bati Av. Are you going to say, so that's good for the 6 days of the week? Each Beis Av does the Avoid on the other day of the week, Sunday through Friday. Who does the Avoid of Shabbos? But that was going to be done, Beshutfis, all of the Bati Avos all working together. The problem problem is, the Aruch HaNeir says that we find big steers to this thing, because in Masechta Tainus, Daf Tazayin, Rashi and the Ritva both speak at the Feirish that there were seven Bati Ovis, and there was one of the Beis Ovis where he had his day was Shabbos. There was Sunday through Shabbos, seven Bati Ovis. Moreover, says the Aruch HaNeir, that the Sefta says it over there. It's the Sefta right over there in Tainus. It says the Feirish, this thing, that you had seven Bati Ovis, and divided into seven. And that's a big, big stira to the Sugya over here in Shkolem and the Bavli and Menachos, where it says that there were only six Bati Ovis. So the Aruch HaNeir essentially suggests that there's a Machlekes Chazal in this thing. It's a Sefta that we quoted from Tainus. It's in Perik Beis, in Ois Beis, it's a Sefta, and it says very clearly that Mishmor Sheyesh by Shiva Kolecha V'Yecha Makrav Yoimoy. So it speaks about this thing about having seven subdivisions of the Mishmor, seven Bati Av in the Mishmor. Whereas the Gemara in Menachos Kov Zayin, and presumably the Yushalmi here as well, they hold that there were six. It's a Machlekes Chazal, and in Mela it's not a Kasha Rashi in Edvo, and they're saying it's seven Rashi in Tainus, seven Bati Av. They're going like the Sita that the Sefta. And now, like the Shita of the Sugi Menachos, the Sugi over here in Shkolem. That's the suggestion of the Aruch HaNeir. However, the Chasam Sofer in a Tshuva in Chelak Aleph for Chaim Simon Reish suggests an interesting thing. He says that Mipnei Chomer Hakasha, he would say that the Pshat is like this. The starting assumption in Svar really would be that there are seven Bati Ovis. And why not? You know, why shouldn't there be seven? Each day of the week should have its own Mishmar. Shabbos also has Kabbanas. That is, presumably, there's actually much less Kabbanas on Shabbos because there's no Nadorim and Adavas that are offered on Shabbos. And the only thing offered on Shabbos, which means generally Shabbos, the only carbonus that you had at all were the two tmidim, shalshachas and bein abayim, and two musafim, and that's really it. There's four carbonus the whole day. So that mishmah, that beisav that takes Shabbos, has much less to do. But so what? The pashas would be that you have to have seven bati ovis, and then a chanami, the one that comes out on Shabbos, he'll get less. However, it says in Chasam Sofer, if I hold like Chizkia, and I'm very worried, deloy leifi lintzui, or sheyasholim zebazel, like the lashon of the Bavli that we quoted before, is why does Chizkia hold that they had six separate pushkas in the Mishkan? Otherwise, the Kohanim are going to fight with each other, and they're going to say that you got more Nadav voice, you get to hide from your oilers they could offer, and I got less. So because of that, they had six separate pushkas, and each one got put into his pushka, and they wouldn't fight. If that comes out, like if that's what it is, says Chasam Sofer, then the one, they couldn't be a separate base after Shabbos, because that one's not going to get any Nadavas at all by definition, because he can't offer any Nadavas on Shabbos, and they get left totally ripped off and not getting any hides at all. So if you hold like Chizkiya Shita Olas Shalom Zebazeh or Leisi Lintzuye, I'm not going just going to hold, in other words, like the Gemara says, that I have six separate pushkas, but also I'm going to have to hold by definition that there's only six divisions into Bate Av and not seven, because otherwise, for sure, I'm going to have fighting because the Shabbos won't get left without anything. So Chizkiya Shita is going to be that there are six. However, since the Bavli comes out of Menachos Kov Zayin at the end of the Sugya, that all the other Shitas all argue on Chizkiya because they all hold in Suya Loi Chashina, we're not worried that the Kohen are going to fight over this thing. So Mela, the same way that the Gemara says because of this that they wouldn't hold, that there's a subdivision into six pushkas over that purpose, you have to find some other reason to subdivide. So likewise, they would also hold that there's no reason to subdivide the Bati Ovis Dafkin into six just for the weekdays, and then to say that Shabbos everyone should get together. Why should I say that? Rather, I'll just say the Pashtas, I'll say that there's going to be a division into seven Bati Ovis. And that's why that the Seftas are there, and the Rishonim and Masechta Tainus, Rashi and Ritva, that they're saying as the seven Bati Ovis, they're going Lefiho MS, that most of the Shitas don't hold like Chizkiya, and we don't worry about the Kohanim fighting. So then I go with the Pashtas. So it's the simple logic, and to say that the Taka was a division of the seven Bati Ovis, and Shabbos was a separate division, a separate Beis Av, which gets Shabbos, and not like the Gemara over here, which is going Dafkin and Chizkiya, who's worried about the Kohen and fighting each other.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org. or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.